You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Driving to work in the morning or to the grocery store during the weekend, you might be thinking about your to-do list or trying to navigate traffic. What you're probably not aware of is that a camera may be taking pictures of your car. Police departments across the country are increasingly using cameras to photograph cars, even when the driver is doing nothing wrong. And they're not the only ones. Joining me now to explain why our cars have become the latest way to track us is Wall Street Journal reporter Julia Angwin. Her article about tracking license plates appeared in last weekend's edition of the paper. I'm very pleased that it brings her back to our show today. Hello.
Happy to be here.
Now, here in New York City, the police department has installed cameras at certain intersections that take pictures of drivers that run a red light or block the intersection, and there's a flash that goes off when they're taking the picture. Are these the same sorts of cameras that you're talking about in the story?
No, this is a different kind of camera. These are cameras that are usually mounted on police cars or other cars, and they take pictures as they're driving by. So they might take a picture of a parked car. They could take a picture of the oncoming traffic or the cars in front or behind them. And these cameras are not detectable. I mean, if you know to look for them, they look like a little box on the hood of the car, but you don't see a flash. You have no idea that you're being tracked as this car drives by.
And they're taking pictures all the time?
All the time.
So nobody's sitting there and clicking?
Nobody's clicking. It's actually kind of just video that's running. They're rolling footage all the time as they go down the street. And they have software that basically extracts license plate images from the video and captures and quickly analyzes and puts those into text.
Well, on television shows, we see them being applied to stops, a traffic stop, and then later that's brought in as evidence of what really happened. But you're not talking about something like that. Are these taking the same those pictures as well?
These pictures can be used as evidence, but primarily they're being used actually more for investigations. So basically, the police have been installing them in the past 5 years pretty aggressively across the nation. And also, we wrote about two private companies run by repossession agents who are building nationwide databases. And the purpose of these, they're amassing these huge databases of location information about your vehicle at all times. And the idea is that they can investigate crime better. So basically, if you want to know something about a suspect, you could look at their historical record of where has their license plate been. You get a pattern of movement. This kind of pattern of movement is actually very difficult for investigators to get. And so this is a new way for them to get it.
But they're taking a picture of my car, and there's no reason to investigate me.
Yes. Well, this is the problem that,
I don't think there is.
Not yet. Not until they look at the data. We wrote about a guy, Mike Katsukabe, who lives in San Leandro, California, and he sought the records that his local police department had on him, and they had taken pictures of his car almost weekly for 2 years. So, and he's not—
For what reason?
No reason, just because they were driving by places that he was parked. And they even had pictures of his kids getting out of the car. And he felt that there was no reason for him to have a record with the police department. We spoke to the police department, and they said, actually, it's true. Previously, we would never have had a record about Mike Katsukabe. He's never been a suspect. He's never been charged of anything. So this is a new thing that police departments have records on people who are innocent.
But this is kind of like what the NSA is doing when they collect everybody's email, isn't it?
Yes, I do think that it's not a totally established fact at the moment that the NSA is collecting everybody's email. However, that has been alleged. However, I would say that dragnet surveillance is something that we're seeing more and more of because technology allows you to collect all the data first and then look for what you want later.
One former police officer told you that this was the most rapidly spreading technology she'd ever seen. Is that because the cost of the cameras and the data storage for the images has become pretty inexpensive in the last decade?
It has become relatively inexpensive. It's still rather expensive as surveillance technologies go. It's about $15,000 for a pair of cameras. But we've also seen a big rise in federal funding for these cameras. So we canvassed the top in all 50 states and found that just Department of Homeland Security alone had given $50 million in grants to fund license plate reading systems.
And that's part of the Homeland Security approach.
It is.
But they're not just looking for people who are likely to plant a bomb. They're looking at me going to Costco.
Yes, and that is that's the problem. We quoted a woman in the story who's the former privacy officer at the Department of Homeland Security, and she said these databases on a nationwide scale could comprise the largest database of internal movements of Americans that anyone's ever compiled.
Are these cameras being used mostly in big cities, or are they everywhere?
All over, actually. We found many small towns that had them. San Leandro, California, Crisp County, Georgia, population 23,000.
So they just ask the federal government for some money and they get it?
I believe, you know, they have to try to get the money, but yes, it does seem like the
does
money
Paul
is
Ryan
going to
know
very
about
small.
This?
We should tell him.
Are there ground rules governing the use of the images that the police take?
Not really. Some states have adopted rules to limit when officers can access this data because, of course, the nightmare scenario is just an officer decides he wants to look up where his wife's going all the time or where, you know, some cute girl he's passing by is going. And so some states have put in limits, like New Jersey has said that you need to have specific and articulable facts of a suspicious of a possible crime before you can access the database. But Riverside County, California, where we obtained all their records through a Public Record Act request, they said that any officer can look it up in routine course of business, and that seems to be the standard.
Now, they're photographing reflective surfaces, aren't they? Like license plates.
Yes. So the interesting thing—
But there are other reflective surfaces,
yes.
Aren't there?
There are. So one thing that was really funny about this data. So it took us a while to obtain this data. No one had ever gotten a hold of an actual database full of the license plate information. We were really excited to find out what was the most surveilled vehicle in Riverside County. It was the one-way sign. So it turns out that all the sheriff's department that we vehicles are going by one-way signs, and they have a reflective background, and they sort of appear like a license plate. So it was actually one of the most surveilled items.
I hope they weren't doing anything wrong.
So, of course, I immediately decided that I would change my license plates to one-way. But it was already taken in New York.
It really was.
It was.
Well, the thing that's strange about New York is that license plates look different. There are the white ones with the blue lettering. There are the yellow ones with, I think, black lettering. I'm wondering whether all license plates are equal. And then there are some around the country that look quite different than the ones we have
yes,
here.
Yes, actually, license plate reading is itself an art. So the companies that market this technology, LSAG in New York State actually being one of the biggest ones, have teams of people who are researching developments in license plates at all times.
Now, I know that I'm going to get some responses from listeners saying, it's okay, you can photograph my license plate. This is really just a way to catch the bad guys. But you say that police departments aren't the only customers for this technology. Who else is using it?
Yeah, so we spoke to a company called MBTrack in Chicago, and this is run by a repo man, repossession agent Scott Jackson. So he's been in the repo business for 23 years, and he saw these cameras and thought, this is going to help me repossess cars faster and better. And so he installed them, and then he realized, actually, this is a data business. And he has now got an affiliate of repossession agents across the country who are working, who have installed his cameras, and they all feed data into his database. The thing is, these guys are driving all day, all night, looking for cars. The police actually aren't collecting as much data because they don't go all night long to parking lots and apartment complexes and shopping malls and cruise every aisle of the parked cars in order to have a real record of where all these cars are located. So he has a very big database, and he has a competitor, Digital Recognition Network, which didn't talk to us, that seems to have an equivalently large database.
And does that mean that they're able to repossess more cars now?
They do seem to be able to repossess more cars because of it. They say their efficiency has gone up, and now they're looking at ways to market their data beyond repossession. So bail bondsmen, process servers, private investigators, insurance agents, these are all areas that they're considering, as well as offering access to law enforcement.
My guest is Julia Angwin of the Wall Street Journal. We're talking about some new technology that allows every car to be photographed, whether you're aware of it or not. You spoke to a man named Mike Griffin, who's in the auto repossession business.
Yes.
How does he use the cameras?
So Mike actually is in Baltimore, and he has been in the repossession business for quite some time, but he also saw the potential of these cameras. So he bought a fleet of 10 cars just for what he calls night spotting. And so night spotters are, he hires people to drive these cars all night long collecting plates. And then if they see a plate that needs repossession, they will call in the tow truck. But their real job is just to get as much data as possible.
And what happens to these images? I mean, here you have this repo company that has license plates of pretty much every car in Baltimore right now.
And Washington, D.C.
And what are they doing with it? And where are they storing it? And how safe is the storage?
Yes. Well, they're sending it all back to this Chicago company that I told you about, MBTrack. And it's stored there. And they have, they say they...
This is a national repo database?
Yes, it's a national repo database. And so, and Mike, who is sort of one of the, you know, far-flung field agents for this national database, who gets a cut when they sell the data.
I would assume that this is a much more complete database than the National Security Administration's.
Yeah, I mean, we don't always know what is happening at the NSA, but it doesn't, you know, it does seem like this could well be a very comprehensive database that no one has amassed before.
A private chauffeur called to say that at first his company was upset about the surveillance, but that they feel ultimately it could be helpful in catching folks who are doing wrong. And I would guess that's the feeling of a lot of
listeners.
It is.
And the law enforcement officers we talked to all gave us cases where it allowed them to catch suspects.
Mm-hmm. Suspects who they might not have caught otherwise.
Yeah. That, you know, for instance, I think in California they were telling us about one of the jurisdictions about a suspect from Las Vegas was driving through but had been put on some national alert list. So when his plates were scanned going through their town, they were able to nab him.
Jim left this message. All the police departments in Bergen County, New Jersey, are using the license plate surveillance systems. Every plate in view is read and automatically checked via digital radio with the computer database, and the car officer gets a report immediately if there are any warrants or other reasons to stop the vehicle. This application could be lauded as being effective at catching scofflaws and worse. The question is whether the data is retained or not, and even if we make it illegal to retain the data, how do you prove that the cops aren't retaining it anyway?
Right. I think that's a very good question. So a lot of the debate around these databases has been about data retention. Some states have actually said, you know, after a certain period of time, 120 days, 90 days, we're going to purge data of innocent citizens and only keep ones that are part of an active investigation. But some other places, like Southern California, we talked to a bunch of jurisdictions who said we want to keep it forever.
Julia Angwin of the Wall Street Journal is my guest. We are talking about the collection of information about us that we are mostly unaware of. And we will continue our conversation after we take a little break. Stay with us. We are back with Julia Angwin of the Wall Street Journal. She has written an article about tracking license plates that appeared in last weekend's edition of the paper. And a lot of people have been writing in. Bob from Flushing says this kind of routine surveillance of everyone all the time is what we would have expected from the Stasi. And you've written in the past about other kinds of surveillance. Do we know how much information is being collected about each of us on any given day between web activities, driving around in our cars, getting money from the ATM?
Yeah, I mean, the rise of routine surveillance is real, and it has never been more routine than it is now. You know, we had we compiled, I think, 20 different ways that your day is being routinely surveilled by private and governmental actors. And it's worth noting that they're not all currently being fed into a giant database, but often the government can access the private data. And I think also it's worth pointing out that the Stasi comparison, although it does seem rather extreme, is actually somewhat reasonable in the sense that the Stasi, for the people they cared about, they had teams of people following. But for the average citizen, actually, they just had one little index card with their name and address and not that much more information. And I would say it's pretty fair to say that there is more information about us available right now.
A West Point professor told one of your colleagues that your cell phone is basically a sensor that you're carrying with you all the time. How much data is being collected from those devices that we seem to be more and more connected to?
Well, certainly the cell phone is probably the most surveillable item. I mean, it makes us makes our location available at every moment. I mean, certainly you park your car in the garage or on the street and go back into bed, but usually you put your phone next to you on the bed, right? And so really our phones are with us all the time, and they're communicating not just to the cell phone company, but often to the company, the Android or Google or Apple, if you have one of their phones, and to all the app makers.
Well, I remember way back in the old days, Charles Manson and those killings. And one of the reasons that it took so long for the police to get him was that in Los Angeles, the sheriff's office didn't talk to the LAPD. And so there was no way to know what their activities really were. And this kind of thing could be very useful in that kind of case. The question that some people have is the data being actively used by law enforcement, or is it just being saved until someday when it may be needed?
Right. Well, certainly with cell phone location data, it is actively being used. So we actually did a story, I think, late last year about how widely used was cell phone tracking by law enforcement. And we surveyed the top 20 departments in the country and found that thousands of people are being tracked by cell phone data all the time. And judges have told us that it is routinely being used. They see orders for that kind of tracking all the time. But it's worth saying that at least
they have to issue a FISA,
right?
Don't they?
At least they have to go. They go to magistrate judges to get some. It's not a warrant, but some lesser court order. But at least a judge has looked at it. In terms of the license plate data right now, you're not seeing any court oversight of that information.
Couldn't all of the information taking considering all these different sources be compiled to create a profile of us that would be pretty accurate?
Yes, definitely. Actually, when I was at the Mike Griffin's, the repo guy in Baltimore's department, he pulled up the data on me that he had at his fingertips in one of the databases that he pays for. And there was not a single piece of inaccurate information in there. It was entirely accurate. It was eerie.
And what could he use it for?
So he can pull it up because he has sort of a private investigator status, and he can look at it and find out and then match it to my plates and find out where I am.
But that requires, of course, that you own a car. There are a lot of people who don't have cars.
Yeah, certainly in New York City.
So we have to hope that they have reflective clothing?
Well, yes. I mean, they're going to be bicycle tracking, I'm sure, soon enough.
There are some laws that govern how the police use this information. What about the private companies like these repo companies that collect these images and other information? Are they regulated at all?
No, there's no regulation on them. And the company that I spoke to in Chicago, MVTrack, said they're not going to ever provide the data to the public or to marketers. The other company that didn't speak to me, Digital Recognition Network, says on its website that it wants to provide the data to marketers so they can pinpoint consumers and match the data with other information about consumers. So they do seem to have marketing aspirations.
The Center for Democracy and Technology recently praised Apple for the increased control over personal data that users of its new operating system will have. Are technology companies starting to become more responsive to concerns that consumers have about the use of their data or the misuse of their data?
Yes, they are. I mean, Google was hit with a $22.5 million fine this year for violating the privacy of people who were using the Apple Safari browser. And I think that did set a precedent that big companies like a Google and an Apple are taking steps to try to make sure they have better privacy controls.
What happens if somebody sues me for claiming that I did something and I say, well, I wasn't even in the area? Can I go to the police and say, can you show this? Can you bring to court the proof that I was actually in Vermont at that time?
Right. I mean, that is actually a really good point, because a lot of times people are not as unhappy about the collection of the data as their lack of access to the data. Because if there's benefit to be had from the data, we would like some of that benefit. Right now, you could try to get a Public Records Act request to get your data, but it's not guaranteed that you would get it.
Well, some places more than others. You have a California man you spoke to who requested the images taken of him. He received 112 dating back to 2008.
Yes. Well, he did his request in 2010, so it was actually just 2 years worth of data, and probably there's more since then.
What about the images taken by cameras that are owned by private businesses? Is there any way that people can see them?
So no, currently there's not a legal process that you can go through to get those images. And it's also worth noting that the law enforcement usually can get them.
Larry from Bayside called to ask, haven't the British been pioneers in this kind of surveillance? Are we just catching up with them? The British just mount cameras on a lot of corners, don't they?
Yes, that's true. They have been the leaders in video surveillance. It's worth noting that it's often used in Britain ex post facto. So after a crime, they'll pull the tape and watch it, but they're not real time watching it, usually at the to look for prospective criminal behavior. But that is probably going to come as we figure out ways to technology that allows you to automate and analyze video without a human having to sit there and watch it.
And then an alarm bell goes off and somebody starts looking at it. A listener in Brooklyn asks, isn't this a violation of the Fourth Amendment search and seizure clause? They have no right to search without without evidence or a warrant. Has this been contested in court?
I don't think the license plate scanning has been contested, and I think it would be an interesting Fourth Amendment claim. Only because there's pretty established law on the Fourth Amendment that when you're in public, on a road, you don't have a reasonable expectation of privacy. But I do think, the aggregation of all your data into a giant database is a legal theory that is being raised in other surveillance cases and could come into this as well.
My guest is Julia Angwin, whose article about tracking license plates appeared in last week's edition of the Wall Street Journal, the newspaper she writes for. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. One state senator in California introduced a bill that would have limited how long these images can be retained by private companies and would have required police officers to get a warrant to access the photos. But he abandoned that. Why?
Yeah, he was hit with huge opposition from law enforcement, who said that this would really cripple their abilities to investigate crimes. And in particular, they said that it was going to mean a loss of revenue because they were using the data for parking enforcement. So if you have a lot of unpaid tickets, they can scan your plate. And as they drive by, they're like, oh, that guy hasn't paid, and pull you over and say, you got to pay your tickets.
Ellen from Hackensack writes, I was astonished that when people lined up to buy the new iPhones last week, the New York City police were outside registering everyone's serial numbers and announcing that this was a program to protect you against phone theft. And no one complained about whether this might also be a surveillance issue.
Wow, I hadn't heard about that, but I don't know that I would have handed over my serial number.
Well, they said because if somebody steals your phone, they will have a record of it and they will know who actually owned the phone.
Right.
Because iPhones are hot property of thieves.
Right. Indeed. I think it is. But the more information that they have, the more that I get concerned about the dragnet effect, which is I'm going to look for all phones that have engaged in suspicious behavior, and then I'm going to suspect those people.
This past February, online advertisers said that they would agree to honor do not track options that are part of internet browsers by the end of the year. In an interview, FTC Chair John Leibowitz told you that they appear to be backing off from those commitments. Is it because there's so much money to be made from tracking web activity?
Yes, that is true, that there is a lot of money to be made from tracking our behavior, particularly from advertisers who want to offer us products right at the right moment, at the right time. And if they can get a sense of where we are and what we're interested in at that moment, they think they'll have a better chance of us clicking on the ad. They were going to agree to do not track, but they seem to be not necessarily abiding by that commitment.
Uh-huh. And that's, again, because of pressure, I assume.
I mean, I think it's a revenue issue for them. They're making a lot of money selling targeted ads, and they're very worried that if too many people turn on Do Not Track, they're going to lose a lot of money.
The Federal Trade Commission recently fined Google $22.5 million for bypassing privacy settings for users of Apple's Safari web browser. Google remains the subject of an antitrust inquiry by the FTC. In the case of Google, which has a web browser, Chrome, and also sells a lot of web advertising, are they on both sides of this argument?
Yeah, they are on both sides of this, and this is an interesting dynamic. They have said that they're going to build in a Do Not Track button into their Chrome web browser by the end of the year. So we'll see, but it doesn't necessarily benefit Google's advertising interest to have people turn off tracking.
Google has said that they'll introduce a Do Not Track button to Chrome by the end of the year.
Yes, they have said that. And so if this agreement doesn't fall apart, which is being negotiated actually right now in Amsterdam, all the advertisers and the privacy experts are there trying to hammer out if they can reach an agreement on Do Not Track.
Well, I can understand why Google might want to come to some kind of resolution. That was the largest fine the FTC has ever imposed, isn't it?
Yes, one of the largest fines in that type of case.
So it's my sense that there's nothing I can do about this. That they're just going to know where I am at all times or where I was.
You know, I think that it's easy to feel hopeless about all this tracking, but I think that there are some small things that you can do to turn off tracking on your web browser. It's hard to turn off the license plate tracking, though.
Deborah from Newark writes, the BBC did a spot on this in 2008. They found that people were surveilled every 4 yards, but it only decreased crime by 3%. So when you spoke to the police departments, did they say, well, this has been really effective and we've been cutting down on crime a lot?
That is an interesting point, because one of the most common arguments for the license plate readers is to track down stolen cars. But interestingly, stolen car thefts are down 40% in the past 10 years, due not to license plate tracking, but because of the technology, you know, the keys that don't work and it makes it harder for thieves. So actually, thefts were already down. And some people who study policing have said, you know, there's not really much deterrent effect to the surveillance. People are going to do the crimes or not. And there hasn't been enough studies to show whether it's really deterring any future crime.
Why do I feel that it's unlikely that this topic will come up during the debates tonight?
Yes, it seems very unlikely, because right now, you know, there's no point in being against surveillance if you're running for president.
There's a website, the /new/normalnet, where people are putting up videos of cameras and what they're showing. Also, jillmagid.net?
Oh, I don't know.
You
this
don't know
website.
About these
yes.
things. But there are people who, I guess, who feel that they're fighting back.
Yeah, and that's actually the fun thing about technology is we actually can sort of fight back in some cases. Not always, but like certainly with your computer, you can install software to help block tracking.
We're going to take a call from Rich from Manhattan. Hi, Rich. You're on the air.
Hi, Leonard. Thank you. I wanted to address the expediency of information going into this system, and I'll tell you why. My car was towed because of unpaid parking tickets in Manhattan, and they put me in the impound. And that afternoon, after I'd gotten the car out, I was pulled over on the highway by state troopers because the system told them that my car was still an impound, and they believed that I had stolen it.
Oh, dear. This is a problem with data quality, right? So the data's not getting updated fast enough.
So, Rich, how did it come out? What happened?
Well, several
Are you in jail now?
No, I wasn't. I've learned my social skills from your show, and I was able to talk my way out of it without any consequence.
Well, but thank you so much for calling us. But this is just another one of the kinds of complications we're likely to see as this whole business grows. And you suggest that we're not likely to see many legislators try to do much to stem this.
Not right now, maybe, but maybe next year after the election. I mean, privacy seems to be an issue that is not going away, and people are getting more and more concerned about it as they have moments like this impacting their daily life.
Well, you work for Rupert Murdoch, who, at least in England, has had all sorts of problems in this regard.
Yes, there is some irony in that.
Julia Angwin writes for The Wall Street Journal. Her article about tracking license plates, not about hacking the Royals, appeared in last week's edition of that newspaper. Thank you so much for being on our show.